We're talking about the wealth transfer in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now let's take that over to the Amplified translation, please. A good man leaves an inheritance, moral stability, and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. My Lord, my Lord. Now, right there, it tells me that God plans for all of us to leave an inheritance to our children and grandchildren. Now that's a long ways from needing some help to bury your relatives. That's a long ways. And so I'm teaching this here so that the church would be able to have the capacity to go in and possess what belongs to them. Because there's been some things out here taught that I'm not sure where it came from, but it's not the scriptures. And as I go through this, I'm going to show you the scriptures, so if you have an issue, you don't have it with me. Your issue is with God. Look at Romans chapter 3, please. In Romans chapter 3, glory to God. And verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be what? True, and every man be a liar. Let God be true, and every man be a liar. So it's saying here that if this word does not agree with your senses or something that you thought, then let what you thought go and get a hold of something that's true. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So that's things that folk think that they're right. How many of y'all thought you were right one time, but you ended up being wrong? Now, if you didn't raise your hand, there's a demon operating close by you somewhere. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 10, please. Now, over in Romans chapter 10, these are scriptures that I'd like you to keep in mind as we go through this. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Underline the word rich. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. That word is the word sozo, meaning healed, meaning delivered, prospered. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not, what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a who? Without a preacher. All right. So last time, as we were finishing up, we were talking about the fact that the culture is being controlled pretty much by the elite and people who have the money. even though you and I reach out and get other people saved, God said something about the money thing. And he said it in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. He said that the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, we said that the saints of God have gotten saved and thank God for it. But we were not to stop there at salvation. There are aspects of this citizenship of the kingdom that we have that we want to partake of or take possession of. And that we said that this word, the rich rules over the poor, that the enemy heard that, and he's trying to keep the money out of your hands and keep it in the folks' hand, people's hands, who in fact are not saved. And then as a result of that, that the enemy would have them not to give money to the gospel. Because if he did that, he would be financing a war against himself. So he won't do it. Now they'll buy all kinds of big expensive art pieces, but they won't finance the gospel. And what we found out is in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said to them that your father is the devil, and the lust of your father, come on, you will do. Now the tendency is to believe that we're all God's children. Hold up. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. So you had to receive him. Who is him? Jesus. You receive Jesus, you become a son of God. Other than that, your father's a devil. Now that's not a put down. That's just where you are. Now you can change that today. Change families just like that. Poop. Now, so the lust of your father you would do. Lust is not lusting after some woman or some man. No. The pressures of your father you will do. You remember Peter, and Peter had pressure coming on him. He said, Lord, even though they may leave you, I will never leave you. But what happened when the pressure got on him? He denied him how many times? Three times. Looked like one time he would say, okay, man, I missed it that time. No. The pressure. So when the enemy is controlling the system, then the people are being used as pawns. So he puts pressure, he puts ideas, so forth and so on, and they'll treat them a certain way, and they won't give that money to the gospel. So it's got to be a divine transfer, that God is going to come in and divinely transfer it. And this is not something that is done one time. It's done consistently all through the Bible. Say amen to that. So God is transferring the wealth of the wicked. And I believe that this is the final harvest. This is not only the divine transfer, it is the wealth transfer. It is the big one. It is a transfer that's going to be above all other transfers, and it's going to come in and give us enough wealth that we be able to establish the kingdom quickly throughout all the world. I believe we're going to build and expand his kingdom rapidly. And God has chosen you like Esther for such a time as this. Say amen to that. So now, how did the wealth get into Satan's hands? It's because of the sins of Adam. But what is God doing? Before Jesus comes, he's going to take this wealth and bring it back into the hands of his rightful ownership. Amen. You don't have to shout about it. Just say amen. All right. Now, in this, what has happened? We looked at Ecclesiastes. Just look at that, please. And Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. So if you don't have any money, then it's interesting. You could be a soul winner, but the words won't be heard. You will find that people will go far and wide to listen to a billionaire. And that's because he's got one thing. Come on, money. And so as we look at this, we are now going to look at it in terms of the transfer and how God's transferring this money and the influence into the hands of the church. Look what it says in Genesis and chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, he said, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. And I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Then he goes all the way down. Abraham leaves. In verse 15, this is when Abraham comes into Egypt. And the princes or rulers of Pharaoh saw Sarah and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken unto Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. Now notice what he had. He had all of this that Pharaoh gave him. Now Pharaoh gave this to Abram. Abram came down broke and he left there rich. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was how rich? Very rich. In cattle and what? Silver and gold. Now, how did he get the stuff? Okay, a transfer. Who transferred it? God. Who had it before Abram had it? Pharaoh. God made Pharaoh to give Abraham some stuff. Now, I want you to see this because this is kind of interesting. He made him very rich. Now, this, I'm not going to do a whole lot with this in terms of going through these scriptures today, but I want to get a concept over to you today. Glory to God. God does not want you poor. Neither does he want you in lack. He desires for you to live in abundance. Because it's not only you he's going to bless, but he's going to use you to do what? To bless other people. So now, there's plenty in the earth, but it's in the wrong hands. So God would have you to have plenty, so he made Abraham how rich? Very rich. Now, I got to get away from these notes, boy, because I got something I got to say. If you look at verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look on the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. All right, hold on. Let me get my notes here. Every place that Abraham looked was occupied. But here's the deal. No matter what name was on the real estate deed, no matter whose name is behind the multi-million dollar offshore account, the Bible says he's given it to Abraham and his seed. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, now I'm just going to read the scripture, so just write them down. He said, then, if you belong to Christ, then are you whose seed? Abraham's seed, and what? Heirs according to the promise. Do you belong to Christ?
Yes.
Now you see that the problem is not with God. The problem is that the enemy is trying to talk you out of what really belongs to you. Because as Abraham looked out, all this land was being lived on by the wicked. But no matter whose name was on the real estate deed, God says it's his. Now, somebody's got to be courageous enough to receive that. Now put up Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. He says this, Paul is talking. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what to you? Build you up and to give you an inheritance among how many of them? All them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified?
Yes.
You have an inheritance and God is passing it all on to you. Now, what we talked about last time was civil rights, that we've had civil rights. Thank God for the marching and so forth. But folk still broke. And what God wants to do with the church is not only to just let us get saved, but we need our full rights. And one of those rights is silver and gold. Now, it's kind of interesting about that. Glory to God. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the golden rule?
Yes.
The golden rule goes like this. Whoever has the gold makes the rules. Now, stay with me. Let's look at a little silver rights here. Let's go over to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27. And this is something else. Boy, you got to have strength to preach this stuff. Job chapter 27. Look what it said in verse 13. Thus, this is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of who? The Almighty. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as clay, he may prepare it, but the just, that's you, shall put it on. And the innocent shall divide, come on, the silver. Somebody says silver rights. So we've been saved, but still broke. Saved, but still in debt. Saved, but those days are over today. That I'm declaring a declaration of independence. That whatever God says is yours starting today, it shall come into your hand. So, what are we saying? He told Abram, look at the different places, north, south, east, and west. Am I right about it? Let me give you a word. The word is this. Your feet will never take you where your mind has never been. Your feet will never take you where your mind has never been. Now, remember what he said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I'm not trying to preach to you right now, because that's not what you need. What you need is some teaching. See, if this is not manifesting in your life, it's because it's not inside of you. Now, that's not a put down. What I'm saying is what you need is the preacher who has been sent to preach the gospel without compromise. I am not trying to please you. I'm trying to conform you to the word of God. I'm trying to make it so that the Jesus who is rich in you are not operating through poor old you. I'm trying to make it so that all that programming that Jesus was poor, it leave that out of your mind. The Bible does say over in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says this, it says, but for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be what? Rich. So he became poor, so you become rich. Now where did he become poor at? On the cross. So that you become what? Rich. Now didn't he say that? So if you got a problem with this, that's one of them prosperity preachers. That's what's wrong with your broke self right now. See, I'm gonna come right at you, cause I'm gonna help you. I'm helping you now, I'm teaching you. I went to Africa. And here are the Africans over there, black, and this soil that they're living on, I think you will agree that it's one of the richest continents on the face of this earth. You can go from east to west, from the oil to the diamonds to the oil, you can go, you name it. In abundance, some of the best, purest oil on the face of this planet comes out of Africa. Diamonds, Bishop Bismarck said one time they found a diamond so big, I'm telling you, you name it. This one man who works for one of those companies said he bought a luxury car with one day's wages. Cash. Now, wait a minute. I'm just saying they're over there, but why are they so poor? I go over there and they're poor, living in tin houses and so forth, but the wealth is there. Here it is, right up here. Now, wait a minute. We're not dogging down anybody. We're saying this, that you are on the earth and God loaded this earth. It's oysters producing pearls as you sit there. This thing, God made it. And God doesn't make anything inferior. He has no reason to make something deficient. Everything he makes is good. He made that wine, they taste that wine. Oh, y'all know how you used to do. And I'm telling you, just hear what I'm saying now. Because we've heard expressions like Jesus was poor. Well, they came to Jesus' house, three men, three wise men, and they brought what? Gold, come on, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know none of y'all who don't know that. But do you know how much gold? Because you looked on that greeting card and you saw a little old box. Am I right? And Peter Daniels came here to speak, a very wealthy man, and he came to speak, said he commissioned a study as to how much gold the wise men brought to Jesus' house when he was baby Jesus. And the value was today approximately $400 million. So he brings $400 million. Why did they need so much? Because they were going down to Egypt. He was going to move them because Herod was trying to kill him. Say amen here. But he didn't bring him little old box that had one little old gold coin in it. And say, hear what I'm saying. And I used to hear my mother used to say all the time, you know, son, he's poor as a church mouse. And I used to try to figure out, church mouse? What church mouse? And church mouse, that was saying that a mouse can go in somebody's house and find something to eat, but in going to church, it's so poor in there, ain't nothing to eat. I'm talking about a rat. Or she used to say this, poor as Job's turkey. And I used to wonder, now, wait a minute, I studied Job. Job was the richest man in the East. Them turkeys was fat. You follow what I'm saying? How about this? Filthy rich. Well, you want to stay away from that because that filth now, that stuff will ruin you. Wow. It won't ruin you if you got good sense. You see, let me tell you something. God, you wait till I get it because I got to get to the fact that what's coming over to you is luxury. I better go on this side now. Because somebody over here about ready. That enemy doesn't want you to receive that. He wants you to stay as far away from it as you can and keep your mind from receiving it. Now let's just talk about that just a minute on the renewing of the mind, because that's got a lot to do. See, God cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. You remember what he said to the man in Mark chapter 9? The two blind men, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said, yeah, Lord. Poof, he pulled the trigger. See, if you don't believe this, now you can sit up and shout, hallelujah, all of that, and still don't believe. Now, that's what I want to show you right now, because you've got people, and I got some numbers here, in a person's life who won the lottery. 90% of the people who win the lottery go broke in a short time, most within 5 years. They end up in the same place they were before they won. Now, why is that? They make bad decisions. They make horrible investments. They squander the money, and watch this one, relatives. Some of y'all ain't got nothing and relatives still at your door. Now, what do they end up doing? Watch this. Sabotaging their lives. Why? Because that's the way the subconscious is working. The subconscious works 24/7, and it is responsible for 85 to 95% of your daily decisions. It makes decisions on a level that you are not consciously aware of. So what happens? I consciously select something. This is what I want to believe. Then I take it, and pretty soon, because of repetition, whatever, it goes into my subconscious. Now my subconscious is strong, not easily changed, but it's directing my life. So that subconscious mind, glory to God, can even direct me or draw to me resources, ideas, people, and draw them to me for success, or if it's not programmed properly, will push it away. Life is full of opportunities. Say that. There is no shortage. Say that. Now the shortage has been programmed, or insufficiency has been programmed, because the enemy wants to keep you in a place where you don't want abundance or the best. Now, if I'm right, you want your kids to have the best education. If somebody gets sick, you want them to have the best physician. You want to even live in the best neighborhood. Come on, fess up. But when it comes to the tangible assets of God, the enemy tries to do a number on our minds to keep our comfort zone back in the place where we don't want the best, glory to God, or can't get to the best. There is plenty for you in this earth and for you to do anything you'd like to do. And you are made to enjoy the abundance of his wealth. I'll say it again. You are designed to enjoy the abundance of God's wealth. God didn't put the wealth here for the devil. He put the wealth here for you, because you are designed to enjoy it. You, oh man, y'all ain't doing me right now. I can feel it. All right, let's just look at this a minute. All right, now what did I tell you about the lottery? So I've known a guy, won the lottery. Short time after that, a few years, boy, I'm done. It was a mess. I mean, lost family, I mean, everything. And got sick, I mean, just everything. This is what that money did. Let me give you another one. This is what I heard. 75% of the National Football League players go bankrupt in the first 5 years. Now, I understand they're making millions of dollars. Now, what happened? They went beyond their comfort zone. So the subconscious took them right back to their comfort zone. So I don't care what opportunities are around you, if your subconscious mind has not been renewed or changed, then it'll bring those opportunities. It'll try to sabotage your life. Stay here with me. All right, let me give you one more. Meditation is a God-given process that causes a permanent change in your thinking. I'll do it again. Meditation is a God-given process that causes a permanent change in your thinking. So what does it do? It produces an internal programming change. So I got to change my mind here. I got to change my mind because I got to get some stuff. And the average person, for some reason, does not want to think big. See, to do this, somebody had to think big. We are graduating schools, Joseph Business Schools. And in the next 2 weeks, one of them is graduating, I think, even in Dubai. Now wait a minute now. Somebody thought big. God was renewing Abram's mind. He said, look at the stars. He said, count them. What was he doing? He was getting him to think globally and generationally. Stay with me. Airplane. Folks, we got the airplane, some folk were upset. Now, you got that same scenario that played out in Matthew chapter 26. When Jesus poured this oil, Mary poured this oil on Jesus' head. And the disciples said, now, why did you waste that oil? That could have been sold and given to the poor. Got it? Now, watch this. Why'd you get that jet? You could have given that money to the poor. All right. Watch this. How many jets you think are out there? Now, suppose it's not enough for all of y'all. You got a God that can make some more. My point to you is that people think shortage. They think that somehow God is limited in what he can do and what he can produce. And the only limit is in our mind. Do I have some believers in here? I am not going to let you believe that God wants you to have less than his best. If I preach that, I'll be like those 10 spies that came back and preached something. I ain't gonna preach nothing but what God has got in his Bible. Listen, I am not talking about greed. All right, let me play it out for you. God created the garden. And who did he put in it? Adam and Eve. He said, now up here is Havilah, where there is gold. Now notice, he told him where the gold was before he told him where the restroom was. That's Acts chapter 2. You go look at it. Why? Because Adam was designed to live like his father. The only reason we've been living lower is because of the sin which gave you a low nature. But once you've been redeemed, he brought you back to where Adam was and even beyond. Because God never restores anything to the place where it was. He always restores it better than it was before. Now watch this. So if that be the case, Adam had no problem with luxury. And the reason why he had no problem with luxury is because he was made like God. He was as righteous as God, meaning that he was the righteousness of his father. He didn't have sin in him, so greed didn't cross his mind. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Say amen to this. See, you've got to identify with Jesus. You've got to identify with this man that hadn't fallen. Because if you identify with this other man, he sees you as having greed. But God says, I'm going to make you, this comes out of Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to make you plenteous and good. You didn't think of that? God thought of that. Say amen to that. That this, he said, I'm going to make you the lender, come on, and not the borrower. I'm going to make you the what? Head and not the tail. You didn't think of that? God knows how you are made. You are made to be the lender. You are made for the best. You are made to be the blesser. Now, I'm telling you this because we've been struggling to try to get somewhere. And the only reason we're struggling to try to get it because our minds are not renewed yet. What you need to do is get a belief system that lines up with the one that's in the Word of God, and your luxury, your blessing, your abundance will flow like a river. You won't have to work up. You'll have ideas come to you at night. You'll have inventions just come to you. You'll have say amen to this. Now that's what I'm talking about. When you see people, oh, you just grieve. That's because they're looking at it through a fallen man's eyes. Because in their opinion, even me telling you about tithing is wrong. Oh, that preacher's just trying to get your money. God has got something for you that the world is going to look at you and the devil's trying to make you think it doesn't belong to you. But every place you'll see, from the north to the south to the east to the west, I have given you. Now, I'm not going to let you go down. I'm not going to let you take second best. I'm not going to let you to think that this is not yours, because it is yours. I don't care whose name is on it. Now, you can't go to nobody, stick them up. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. That is not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is to believe the word of God and then let God flow through you and watch things come to you. It's time for us to stop playing games with the devil, making him work us and slave us and keep us in debt and keep us in bondage. It's time to take back what God has given to the church. Boy, y'all got me preaching here. All right, now look at this. Now, if somebody beside you don't believe this, don't hate. No, they're going to be over your house for a handout when the famine hit. When the famine hit. See, they talked about me when I came here. You know that he's kind of a prosperity preacher. They talked about me. I'm talking about ministers. But do you know, before it was all over, they were coming to me, asked me, could I support their program and give them a donation? Folks, should mean $2. God ain't looking for no donation. He's looking for some seed. Now, I told you to turn somewhere. Where did I tell you to turn? What did I tell you to turn? Matthew 27. Now, don't get upset with me because I'm going to read all this out of the Word of God. Say amen to that. Yes, indeed. You coming back to the level that God has spoken about you. You are right up there with Adam. God doesn't make anything inferior. Everything he makes, whether it's clothes, whether it's food, whether it's cars, whether it's whatever it is that God has a hand in, you will see that it's the best quality that's made. You know in yourself, five blouses for $5 don't last 5 days. What you need to do is get you with something with some quality in it. But the devil tried to make us back out of that, go down to the bargain basement and do all our shopping. Come on up on the fifth floor and do some shopping up there, praise God. Get that stuff that you're supposed to get. I ain't talking about going into debt. Pay cash. Say, how much is it? That's why the enemy doesn't want you. But I'm going to take you there. You keep coming here, I'm going to take you there unapologetically. Somebody got to preach this. We done bowed down too long trying to be politically correct and all that mess. And you know same-sex marriage is wrong. You know. I'm telling you, I ain't coming down on nobody, but I'm gonna tell it. Now say amen, somebody. Sit down, sit down. Let me just finish it. Now I'm not trying to offend you, so don't get your little old feelings hurt, because that's not the kind of deal I am. You know I love everybody, and I always love everybody. That's the way I am. I flow with it, because Jesus is in me, and he's in love with everybody. Say amen to that. So it's not about that. It's about getting this book manifested in this earth. It's time for it now. It's time for us to stop trying to placate people and be accepted by other people and so forth. You get that money, they'll all come to your house. You get that money. You can be dumb as a doornail, but you get that money, they're going to come to your house. Now say this with me. Let's put it in the atmosphere. We love you, Bill Winston.
We love you, Bill Winston.
There you go. Put it in the atmosphere. Put it in the atmosphere. Watch it. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death, folks. That's why we're coming with the Word of God. God loves you. So the enemy has backed us up far enough. And you've got to say, enough is enough. I'm God's child. He's the wealthiest in the universe. And I can't pay my bills. Look what it says here. Now notice what we're doing. We're building capacity to receive. Look what it says here in verse 57 in Matthew 27. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus's who? Disciple. So Jesus had some rich people following. And I guarantee if you look up that word rich in the Greek, it's probably plousios. That means ain't nobody richer than me. I'm giving you my definition. Verse 58. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be what? Delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He laid it in his own what? New tomb, which he had hewed out of a rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Jesus even got buried in the best. When he got that donkey, they said, this was a donkey that's never been rode. Man, that's like a new car with 0 miles on it. Now notice what I'm doing. This is not a greed thing. See, because I'm appealing to you for you to grow up. Why? Because you own the whole estate. Put it up there again. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. You own the whole estate, folks. Why should you be living much below your privilege? Now I say that the heir, this is you, as long as he's a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Let's put it up there in the Amplified and let's just see another degree of meaning for it. He says this. Now what I mean is this. That as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and under what? Age. He does not differ from a slave, although he's the master of all the estate. The estate is the earth. That's your estate. It's time for you to take ownership of what you have inherited. He's holding it only because you won't go get it. And we don't stick anybody up. We take it by faith. You got to believe what the preacher says. Now let's go to one more place. We're done. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. How are we doing? We doing okay? Ah, Lord. This is hard to break through, boy, I tell you. But you see why the devil want to knock the lights out? He want to knock you out, but he can't get to you. So he tried to knock the lights out. When that money came over to Abraham, he did not work for it. It was transferred. I'm not saying don't go to work, but there's a whole lot of other reasons to work. You have a gift inside of you. And your gift does not come forth without work. And your gift must come forth because your gift and it coming forth is a way for you to honor God. You have to honor him with what he put in you. He expects you to let it show. You with me? Joshua chapter 1. Have I given you this yet? I gave you this. Did I give you this for this? Okay. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
If your mind hadn't gone there, your feet won't go there. Get your mind there first. Receive it in the spirit. And it'll trigger your subconscious. And all of a sudden, ideas, resources, all that. Because God wants you to do it without toil. All you have to do to be a billionaire is think like one. Look what it said, verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. For from this wilderness, Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the who? Hittites. And to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Hold it right there. In that, notice he only mentioned Hittites. If you know anything about the ites, it was Hittites, Perizzites, all kinds of ites. But notice he just mentioned Hittites. Why? Because Hittites comes from the sons of Heth, and it means terror. That's a spirit of fear. So the biggest spirit that you're going to have to overcome is that spirit of fear. Got it? Next verse. There shall not any man. Now, when he says any, he means any. See, no government, no army, no nothing is going to be able to stop you. Can't be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not fail you, nor what? Forsake you. As he was with Moses, if you look it up, when you get a chance, in Exodus chapter 23, you'll see how he was with Moses. He said, Moses, I'm going to give you this, but listen, I'm going to send an angel before you. Amen. He's going to do the work for you. Now, Moses, watch your mouth, because he won't forgive you. Only speak my word. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein. How long? Day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. And then thou shalt have what? Good success. Notice meditation produces an internal program change. It transforms your thinking to a higher level. So that's what you want. Not just me to give you this and you listen to it one time. You might have to listen to it three times. Are you following what I'm saying? So meditation makes every impossible situation possible. And God is giving meditation to you so that it's a process that causes a permanent change in your thinking. Look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Glory to God. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into your hand what? Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. So you got to see something. I said you got to see something. And God knows that most of our comfort zone has not been in the best. But he's going to rework your comfort zone. Your feet will never take you where your mind has not been. So God's going to take your mind there and your feet are going to follow. God has plenty for you. Say he has plenty for me. There is no shortage and there is no limit. The shortage only exists in our minds. You are a part of a royal family. So refuse forever poverty, lack, non-achievement. Recognize who you are, and you have been restored to the God class. From now on, this world is not going to control who you are, what you can do, and what you can have. I declare right now that your destiny will not be hindered from this point forward, that you have a new mentality, and that God is going to bring to you things that before you thought were impossible, and use you to finance the gospel of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. Hey. All right, all right. Take a seat, please.